T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's right. That's us. Sports Daily, KFH. On a Monday, getting back to the college football talk now after we, in the first hour, Bruce and I discussed the smash mouth renaissance of K-State as they beat Oklahoma State 31-12. Adam Amin joining us on the Tad's Locker Room Hotline. He was deep in the heart of Texas a couple of days ago, saw the University of Texas hang on to beat Baylor. First of all, welcome back to the show, Adam. Appreciate you. How are you?
Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate being back.
You bet. What did you make of Texas without Sam Ellinger? Are they back if they have to go without Ellinger and have to go with Shane Buechele moving forward?
You know, I'm curious. I personally think Ellinger is a better fit right now for what Texas is trying to do. There's a reason that Shane Buechele hadn't played a snap all year. If you're going to have a backup, that's the backup you want, is Shane Buechele. And I'll say this from our conversation with Tom Herman on Friday. Shane Buechele, who hadn't played a snap until Saturday, had been the consummate pro in terms of how to be a backup quarterback. Kid was always engaged. He and Sam would talk to each other oftentimes before Sam would talk to Tom Herman after drives. That tells you a lot. That speaks volumes to me about what type of kid and what type of, you know, so to speak, professional Shane Buechele is. And obviously that's the guy you want. 19 career starts. He started an entire season for them as a true freshman. If you're going to have anybody, that's the guy you want. So I don't think they're in bad hands. I think they're in better shape with Ellinger, though, because he's a better fit for the offense. There's a reason that he had taken just about every snap this season for the Texas offense. I think they're better with him. I think they're multidimensional with him. He's the better runner of the two, and he's become a much better passer. But Buechele's got the targets. That's the thing about this Texas team. He's got a couple of good running backs, and he's got two of the better wide receivers in the Big 12, and certainly two of the best receivers in the country in Humphrey and Colin Johnson, especially with big targets like that. They're not in bad shape by any means, and I think they're still in a great position to win the Big 12.
Rather pedestrian, though, games against both Kansas State and Baylor sandwiched in around a tremendous effort against Oklahoma. My question, Adam, has a more of a big picture look. Is there really a path for a team from the Big 12? And I guess I'm asking you specifically about Texas or Oklahoma, because West Virginia took care of themselves, or Iowa State did at any rate, this weekend. Yep. Is there a realistic path to the CFP? And it doesn't have to be the all the mean end all. I don't mean it that way. But do you think there's a reasonable path for anyone from the Big 12?
I think there's a reasonable might even be pushing it right now.
Right.
It's tough. It is difficult because the way Alabama looks, almost untouchable, near untouchable. Ohio State, even though they've been tested a little bit in halves over the course of the last few weeks, obviously Penn State took them all the way down to the wire, but the last couple of weeks against Indiana and Minnesota, they've played really well for a half, and that's been enough. They can win on talent alone. Clemson, I know they've got some interesting games where they've maybe made it closer than they need to, and that's been Clemson's MO over the course of the last couple of years. But they're still well in the hunt for the playoffs. So it's going to be very dependent on what the Pac-12 does and what I think those three teams, along with Notre Dame, do. Notre Dame's got a difficult schedule. I think they could falter late in the season. I think they're going to get tested every week. I think that's just how Notre Dame's built. So they could falter. I could see Ohio State and Alabama both going and running the table the rest of the way. And I think what ends up happening with Oregon is going to determine all of this, because Oregon now has a high-quality win against Washington, and they lost by one to Stanford in a ridiculous comeback in overtime. So I give them the benefit of the doubt, especially with the win against Washington. So if they run the table the rest of the way and look better doing it, that might shift the entire course of the rest of the country, because you may not get a Big 12 team in. So I think there's a path to the playoff, but it's very Oregon dependent and very Notre Dame dependent.
So I was getting ready to say, what do you think of Notre Dame? Squeaking by Pitt 19-14, cause for concern there because they seem to have a pretty clear path to the CFP.
Yeah, and but for their path, it's basically you got to run the table now at this point. If you were going to lose, it was going to come earlier in the year. I don't think there's a game on their schedule the rest of the way where you can say, oh, if they lost that game, we would give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't think they have that really anymore. USC, is as much as I think USC has improved dramatically since the opening two games of the season, and I've seen them earlier this year, I think they're going to get better as they go with their freshman quarterback. They continue to impress. They got the win over Colorado this week. I think USC could beat Notre Dame, but I don't think USC may – it's obviously, again, dependent on what happens the rest of the way around the country, but USC may not have the clout to make a Notre Dame loss to them look great in the eyes of the committee, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. A lot of this sometimes is perception and how you play and when you play at that particular level, all of that plays a role into how a committee views a team. And that's the human nature element to being a part of the college football playoff selection committee. And you have to take those things into consideration. So the perception of a loss to USC may not be enough to keep Notre Dame afloat. So I think they're going to falter. I just think they've been tested too many times. There's too many inconsistencies. At their best, they're phenomenal. But I think they're liable to falter at some point during one of those games this year.
Adam, how much are you buying Michigan at this point? I mean, they're ranked 6, so obviously there's a lot of credibility that they're starting to garner. How much of it do they carry with you?
A good amount, because they still have one of the best defenses in the country, and they have the best secondary this side of Washington in all of college football. And Don Brown, I've come to learn not to doubt Don Brown. I know they've had brutal moments in flashes over the past two seasons. But defensively, they are as consistent as they come. Their front with Rashawn Gary and Chase Winovich, scary. And I think they're the best chance, and this is the best chance that Jim Harbaugh has had to really knock out Ohio State. I think it's going to come. Oh, I don't think Ohio State loses a game until they get to Michigan, and then it becomes a dogfight in Columbus. So that game, to me, determines what's going to happen to Ohio State. And if Michigan wins that game, goes on to win the Big Ten championship, I don't think you leave them out, because at that point, they're a one-loss team with a loss on the road in the opening game of the season in Notre Dame, and they've gotten hot. They've had quality wins throughout. Michigan's a playoff team if they run the table and they beat Ohio State and win the Big Ten title.
They do know in Wisconsin that the forward pass is allowed, right?
Mm-hmm. I think there might be a bylaw against it, guys.
Maybe really so. Yeah, that's the way it looked for three and a half quarters.
And not to insult the kid too much, but when you have Alex Hornibrook as your quarterback, sometimes the running game is what you want to focus on. It's been a little tough to try to move the football through the passing game. As good as Jonathan Taylor is, and he's arguably the best running back in the country, I think it's difficult to really generate a ton of offense through the air. And listen, Alex Hornibrook's side, anybody's going to have a tough time for the most part throwing the ball against that secondary.
Yeah.
I know a couple of teams have had good halves against Michigan this year, but for the most part, I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to Alex Hornibrook in this case, because that Michigan secondary is really, really good.
North Carolina State still intrigues me, and they're down there, very Midland, ranked 16th right now. They had the one game against West Virginia, which would have been a nice chip on their table, obviously hurricaned out. But they've got a huge game, maybe one of the biggest games, one of the biggest games in the country this weekend against Clemson, and then go to Syracuse. So we're going to find out a lot about the Wolfpack, who are probably the most logical team outside the fray at the top that could still make up enough ground to be heard from, right? Or no?
I think so. Among the unbeaten teams, I think UCF and NC State are probably the two teams that can make some noise late in the season. UCF more so on reputation. And not to take anything away from UCF, I don't think they're really in the conversation for the playoff, unfortunately, and that's a different conversation for a different day. But NC State among that group is certainly intriguing. If somehow, and I'm not Listen, 2 years ago, they should have won this game against Clemson. They were a kick away from winning this game, and they lost in an overtime. That should have been a win 2 years ago. Dave Doran understands the nuances of playing against Dabo Swinney and playing against him competitively. They've played competitive games each of the last 2 years against Clemson, including on the road. So I think if they win this game, they shoot that that knocks Clemson out, because Clemson has looked very beatable multiple times this season. And I get when Trevor Lawrence gets hurt against Syracuse, that's a different scenario. But they've looked beatable at times this year. This is not as dominant of a Clemson team as we've seen with different quarterbacks in years past. So I think if NC State wins this game, they're a top 10 team. They're your favorite in the ACC. You have to give them that credence. And then they have the target on their back, because if you beat NC State at that point, the ACC has completely been eliminated from the playoff picture, from the conversation, because you're going to look at the SEC champ, the Big Ten champ, still looking at Notre Dame, potentially Oregon, and then potentially the Big 12 champion. And they're going to get credence before anybody in the ACC does. So a huge game with implications that are big for both teams, obviously, but don't sleep on that game because Clemson's at home and they're ranked number 3. There are still pieces of evidence that tell me that Dave Doran knows how to coach in that environment and knows how to coach against Dabo Swinney.
ESPN play-by-play man Adam Amin joining us on the Tad's Locker Room Hotline here on Sports Daily on a Monday. Adam, you're a Chicago guy. How do you explain what happened to the Bears?
Oh, man, really, really bad. Bad decision. And Mitch Trubisky, I've said this since calling their preseason games, and I've made no bones about it. They are going to win games behind Mitch Trubisky's arm, and they're going to lose a couple of games. This is not surprising. Mitch Trubisky is who he is. He's going to get better. He's gotten better, frankly, this season. I think he is an exceptionally smart and athletically gifted young man who's going to have a good career as a quarterback in the NFL. But he's a little bit of a slinger. And in this offense, when he's given the freedom to sling the ball, he's going to make some bad decisions. And you have to eat that, because he's going to give you good stuff that you have to take with the bad. He's going to lose you a couple of games with an interception or two. And yesterday was a perfect example. He made two bad decisions going towards the Miami end zone. And when you make decisions like that, decent teams can take advantage. Listen, Miami gave the Bears every chance to win that game too. When you're Kenyon Drake and you fumble on the 1 yard line, you've gifted the game away. Yep. Cody Parkey was a phenomenal kicker in Miami, and that's not a great surface to kick on, and he did a great job, but he missed a field goal to win it. And you know what? Kudos to Jason Sanders, a kid I covered a ton over the last 4 years at New Mexico. Great kid, great college kicker. Good for him to win that game, but that's going to happen. I'm not surprised. The Bears are going to lose a couple of games because of Mitch Trubisky, and they're also going to win more, I think, at the end than they're going to lose because of him. So it's going to be based on his decision-making, and sure enough, it came down to his arm.
Growing pains for Mitchell Trubisky. All right, you were in Austin last weekend. Where are you going to be this weekend? Where can we find you, Adam?
All right, well, you pick a day, and I'll let you know. I think Saturday we're in Oxford. We've got Auburn and Ole Miss in a noon game Eastern time on ESPN. Then we're going to get in a car, drive to Memphis, and fly to various points. I'm going to Jacksonville. I'll have the Texans and Jaguars on Sunday on ESPN Radio. And then I'm going to head on to Dallas, and I've got Bulls and Mavericks for Bulls TV on Monday night. So it's going to be a fun,
wow,
fun weekend.
Other than that, you're not
very
busy.
Stay busy.
Adam, always appreciate the visit, and thanks for taking some time this morning. Thank you.
It's the way to do it, guys. I appreciate you very much.
You bet. Adam Amin, ESPN, talking college football, and he's a Bears guy. That was an expensive one for the Bears, who were ahead 21-10, I think, and 28-21 at different points in that game. But
yeah, I was laughing. Someone was saying, God, Brock Osweiler won a game for the Dolphins. And I'm like sitting there thinking, no, Mitch Trubisky lost a game for the Bears. So, neither here.
I like Trubisky. I think he's going to be fine.
I do, too.
He looks the part, but, you know, as Patrick Mahomes even showed last night, I mean, it's those other guys get paid to try, too, and they will never stop scheming and trying to fool you, and, you know, it happens to the best of them, let alone a couple of young guys like Trubisky and Mahomes. On this day is coming up. Got a real, real good one as far as past World Series OTDs. Brought to you by Superior Rent, 21st and Ridge, your rental equipment headquarters. On this day, straight ahead here on Sports Daily.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.